So today, again, is Holy Spirit Sunday. It's Pentecost Sunday, the celebration, the birthday of the church. And so today's prayer reflects that. Let us pray. Mighty God, you breathe into our bones, and your Spirit brings truth to the world. Send us this Spirit. Transform us by your truth, and give us language to proclaim your gospel. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Originally, Pentecost was a Jewish Thanksgiving-type festival celebrated 7 weeks after Passover. On this particular Pentecost, however, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the entire community of believers, just as Jesus had promised and the Scripture had prophesied. Empowered by the Spirit, the entire community bears witness to God's activity in multiple languages. A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Please stand as you are able to receive the gospel. This is from John chapter 15 and 16. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. about sin because they do not believe in me, about righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer, about judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. A woman was on a commuter train and was reading a newspaper article about life and death statistics. Fascinated, she turned to the man next to her and said, "Did you know that every time I breathe, someone dies?" "Really," he said, "have you tried mouthwash?" Breath, spirit, wind, it's the same word in Hebrew and in Greek, which is pretty amazing because Hebrew and Greek are unrelated languages. And yet, when we talk about spirit, or when we see spirit in the scriptures, it can also be translated breath or wind. So today, the psalm appointed for today, we said in the first service, it talked about you take it to the Creator, you take away their breath, meaning all creatures of the world, you take away their breath and they return to their dust. That could be translated, you take away their spirit and they return to their dust, or you take away the wind and they return to their dust. Same way, the next verse says, you send forth your spirit and recreate the world. Can be translated, you send forth your breath and recreate the world. You send forth your wind and recreate the world. At the beginning of the creation story, the very first words, when it says a wind from God blew across, that could be translated a spirit from God, or translated a breath from God. So what's that say about spirit? It makes us think about how even the breath, even our breath, perhaps is empowered by the Spirit. Everything is animated in this scripture by the Spirit, in this world by the Spirit. Jesus, in the gospel lesson, he leaves his Spirit with, or he promises to send the Spirit to the disciples, whom he's got this long farewell speech in John chapters 13 through 17, where he's saying, you're sad, but I'm leaving your spirit, leaving my spirit, and it's to your advantage. It's like, it's better that I go away. The Spirit is the ongoing presence of God and Jesus. You might say, we would not be here and churches would not exist. The good news of forgiveness and love would not exist if not for the Spirit. Jesus was a human person who had a human lifetime. In order to be fully human, he had to be like a human who's born and dies. The Spirit continues on, the continuing presence of Jesus and God in the world. The breath, wind, spirit. Even our language, spirit, comes from the Latin word spirare. And from the spirit, we get all these kind of breath things. You know, like you think of a church spire. A spire is way up in the wind, right? We think of inspire. Right? We get inspired. Is that the Spirit moving within us? Expire, When we die, we expire. The breath is no longer in us. All sorts of words that talk about spirit. That's how important the spirit is. We would not be here. The spirit inspired the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures at least, the Old Testament scriptures too. Remember at the time where Jesus was saying these words, I'm going to leave my spirit with you. At that time, what had been 30 or 33 AD? The scriptures, the New Testament scriptures were not written yet. So the Holy Spirit inspired this truth to be written down. To be written down. According to Jesus, the Spirit does several things. It makes sure that Christ is with us forever. The Spirit does that. It reminds us and teaches us about Jesus Christ. It witnesses to Jesus Christ. It proves the world wrong about sin and judgment and righteousness. And it brings us into all truth. So the Spirit, through the scriptures, brings us to the truth. We would not have had at least the New Testament without the Spirit bringing the truth to us. So this is the third most important church holiday or church feast. The most important is Easter. Second most important is Christmas. Yes, Christmas is second most important. And third most important is Pentecost. In Europe, at least when I was there, Germany, I believe they had a couple days off after Pentecost. You believe that? That'd never go over in this country. They'd have a couple days off for Pentecost. It was that important. Of course, they didn't have Memorial Day weekend, so we got that. Folks, we would not be here. Our Sunday school teachers would not be able to teach. Our musicians would not be able to sing and play if not for this Spirit that is with us. Now, I know there are some churches that really get into the gifts of the Spirit in spectacular ways, right? You've heard of speaking in tongues. It's interesting, though, that this first example of speaking in tongues was actually speaking in languages that could be understood. This is kind of a confusing thing from Acts. The disciples are gathered together, and somehow the power of the Spirit comes down on them, and they're able to speak in languages, like real languages. One of them was Arabic. Isn't that interesting? Speak in the languages of people that were gathered in Jerusalem. Now, the people gathered in Jerusalem, this is kind of confusing because it's like they're Jews from around the world. Remember that Israel had been depopulated by Assyria and other powers. So there were Jews living around the world. And they didn't speak Hebrew anymore. They'd forgotten Hebrew. Greek was kind of the universal language, but they all had languages. If you were a Jew that lived in Italy, you would speak Italian, or I suppose Roman. If you were a Jew that lived in Arabia, you would speak Arabic. And so the Spirit enables these disciples, Galileans, they say, aren't these Galileans? So these are all Galilean Jews, meaning, you know, they're backwoods people, not real educated. They're speaking in languages that we can understand. So it makes me think, what's the language we need to learn today in the church to make people understand the good news of Jesus? Forgiveness. The Spirit proves the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. It teaches that, you know, the only reason that we can have righteousness before God is because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, has made us righteous before God. It's not like the old days, right? Where there's sin and then there's judgment for it. No, we have our sin taken away by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is with us everywhere. Now, we only speak of the Spirit one Sunday of the year. Well, I mentioned the Spirit some other times, but you know, there's only one Sunday where we talk about the Spirit. We usually talk about Jesus or we talk about God, because the Spirit kind of works behind the scenes. It gets things done without drawing attention to itself. That's the Spirit's duty, is not to draw attention to itself, but draw attention to Jesus. So the whole thing about the advocate, the original word in Greek is paraclete. You don't have to remember that. Translated advocate in our translation. So it's court language, you know, like law court. You know, it's like you need an advocate to stand near you, stand by you, and speak for you. But in this case, even though the Apostle Paul says the Spirit intercedes with us for sighs too deep for words. I always like that. When I pray, I always think my words are insufficient. The Apostle Paul says, the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. But the main thing of the Spirit is communicating Jesus. The Spirit is Jesus' advocate, communicates to us what Jesus could not, because Jesus was a human. He had to live and die. But the Spirit of Jesus is with us. So, when I say Jesus is Lord, it's the Spirit that enables us to say that. That's what the Apostle Paul says. And Martin Luther said, we can't even talk about faith. You can't come to faith in Jesus without the Spirit. It is the Spirit that enables that. So today, we celebrate the Spirit with us the rest of the year. She will do her work in the background. And in Hebrew, Spirit is she, by the way. So the Spirit is always with us. The Spirit draws us together. The Spirit helps us to understand forgiveness. The Spirit helps me to be able to preach. The Spirit helps musicians to sing. The Spirit helps you to worship. The Spirit will say in the Nicene Creed, we believe in one baptism. This falls under the Spirit. One baptism for the forgiveness of sins. The Spirit works through water in order to make this a saving thing. And the Spirit works through bread and wine. A little piece of bread, a little sip of wine, a little sip of juice, to make Jesus present to us, to come into us, the real presence of Jesus, so that we can go forth and carry that good news into the world. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for the Spirit. And we know that the only way we exist and the only way we worship is through that very Spirit working in us, working among us. Help us to be able to go forth with that Spirit into the world, also to witness, as the Spirit has witnessed to us, help us to witness to others through our loving works and through our loving words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.